the Bible with a woman across the aisle, the assembly line from me. She said, "Jeff," said, "my son loves to read. And says, I just can't think of any good books to get him to read." I said, "Have you ever thought about the Bible?" "Oh, no, no, no." I said, "He likes this." And I said, have you ever thought about how wonderful the Bible is?" "Yeah, as Christians, we think about it. It's a wonderful book. But if you like war stories, there are war stories in the Bible. You ever thought about that? Do you like love stories?" My mama would not admit to it, but she used to love to read Harlequin romance novels. Now, I don't laugh. Some of you like to read them still. There's love stories in the Bible. You ever read the Song of Solomon? There are, you know, you might say science fiction stories in the Bible. Some of the apocryphal literature was almost science fiction to those in that time. The prophets wrote and talked about things that they had no concept of that would ever happen in their lifetime. And yet it comes to fruition. The Bible is a wonderful book. And it's filled with everything that we need. Paul would write to Timothy and tell him that it's sufficient for everything that we need. There's one book in particular I want to focus on for a few weeks. And it is a book that gives us what we need. It is the book of Proverbs. So if you will, open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, that we are to walk wisely. So in other words, walk in wisdom. Walk with wisdom, he says. In Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So Paul tells us in the New Testament that we need to live our lives with wisdom. Well, where do we get this wisdom? Notice he says here that the days are evil. The English Standard Version says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." We've got to make the best use of our time while we're here. Whether you use that time for studying, sharing the gospel, whatever the case may be, you need to make the best use of the time that God has allotted you. You know, I used to think when I worked in factory work, I'd hear about these people that retire. And you'd talk to them and say, "Hey, what are you going to do when you retire?" "I'm going to sit on the front porch in my rocking chair and drink coffee." And I thought, man, I'd like to know what that's like. But you know, when you sit and do that, you're wasting your time. There's nothing wrong with taking a moment to sit in your rocking chair and to drink your coffee, but don't let that be your life. Too many people today are wasting time. Remember, Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 16 that we need to be redeeming the time, making the most of our days, because the days that we're living in are evil. And there's too many people today that are wasting both their time and their lives by failing to exercise the wisdom that God has given them in their daily lives. Now, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17, that God has given us the gospel to equip us to every good work, it's only natural to assume that it provides us with sound advice about how to live our daily lives. It gives us the best, it's the best guidebook, the best pattern that you can turn to for advice to know how to live. And really, it does. Especially the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a source of wisdom. Now granted, we find it in the Old Testament. It's in the section of poetry, if you will. But the purpose of what I want to talk about in this short series is to talk about the book of Proverbs. So let's back up just a little bit. And I want to encourage us, each one of us, to make the most use out of the source that we have in God's Word. In our efforts, as Paul says, to walk wisely. So let's begin by looking at the purpose of the book of Proverbs. It's clearly stated in the first six verses about the book, about what this book is about. It tells us in verse 1 here, or it tells us in these first six verses, that it was written so that we could know wisdom and instruction and to perceive the words of understanding, and also to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. It was written, as the writer would say, to give the simple person prudence, the naive person, the young man to give him knowledge and discretion, the wise man to increase his learning, and to give the man of understanding wise counsel. So the book, therefore, is designed to make the person wise. Now, I don't know of anybody that couldn't stand to have a little bit more wisdom, self-included. Anybody here need a little bit more wisdom? Yeah. The book of Proverbs is where we need to go. It teaches us how to do some things, to act wisely and righteously. Now, you need that as a Christian. You need to learn how to act wisely and righteously in your dealings with your brothers and sisters, do you not? But also, when we have interaction with people outside of the Lord's church, people we work with, our neighbors, people at the grocery store. We went last night to eat dinner with our son and his family. And I was telling Larry, I was talking to him on the way over. He says, well, where are you eating? I said, we're stopping at Demas's to pick it up and take it to their house. Well, we go in and tell them we're there to get our food, and we sit down in some chairs, and there's this woman about this tall, and she's standing there trying to stay away from everybody else, waiting her turn to get in line to pick up her food. And this man about this tall and about this big walks in and walks right by her. And he walks right up to the counter. And she looks at him. And then she looks at everybody else around, and she didn't know what to do. How do you interact with people like that? She could have walked up to him and says, excuse me, you cut line. And everybody else around started talking to her about him, self-included, that you need to stand your ground a little bit better. But she didn't do anything. In fact, I never heard her say anything until she walked out the door and told us bye. But we need to know how to act when we're out in public. I mean, when you go out in public, you represent the house of God, do you not? Whether people know that you are a member at Eastside or not, you represent Christ when you go out into the world. The book of Proverbs, so it teaches us to act wisely and righteously, but also to treat others fairly. If I had walked in and saw several people in that little room, I would have done what some others did. Are you waiting in line? I don't want to cut in line. We need to understand how to treat others fair. And it's not just people in the world that we need to do this. We need to treat our brethren fairly as well. But the book teaches us also how to give certain things. How to give to the ignorant. And I'm not talking about ignorant in a bad way. But unlearned. Unlearned people. You know, and there are Christians that are unlearned in the ways of what God's Word teaches. But it gives us common sense when we don't know what God's Word says. To the young, it gives some sound advice. And to the wise, it gives even more wisdom. So it's at this point that it might be appropriate to ask, what exactly is wisdom? And why is it so valuable? If God put a book inside the Bible that deals with wisdom, it must be important. You ever thought about that? People look at the book of Proverbs and they say, well, it's in the book of poetry. It's in the Old Testament. It's right in there beside Psalms and Job. But if it's in the book of the Bible, it must be important because God put it there for us. So we need to understand. So let's look at the definition and value of wisdom. When we define wisdom, we need to understand what it is. Wisdom may be defined as a realistic approach to the problems of life. Again, I'll ask the question, who here has enough wisdom on how to deal with the problems of life? Not me. There's always something new that comes up and it makes me scratch my head and go, how am I going to deal with that? That definition comes from the 20th Century Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge. Homer Haley says that wisdom is insight into the underlying causes and significance or consequences of things, which insight enables us to apply the best end the knowledge which he has. To illustrate this, let's give you an example, and in your mind, ask yourself what you would do. You go to work tomorrow morning, or you wake up tomorrow and either your wife or your husband yells at you, or your boss yells at you, or maybe it's some brother in Christ who calls you up and yells at you, just chews you out. What do you do? You could react in several different ways. You could strike back, either physically or verbally. What do you mean yelling at me? The book of Proverbs, though, teaches us. You could do nothing. And that doesn't really show wisdom either. But you could react. The book of Proverbs gives us how to handle somebody yelling at us. In Proverbs 15 and verse 1, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So they yell at you. You don't know why, but they yell at you and you yell back. What have you started? Another argument. Maybe they're yelling at you because somebody had just yelled at them. You don't know. But wisdom says, answer in a gentle way. Human nature doesn't want you to do that. Your first inclination is to get your hackles all up and go, no, wait a minute. But the Bible says, answer gently. Wisdom is that insight that helps you to decide what is the best response. If they yell at you, you back up a second and contemplate. Maybe somebody else upset them, whatever the case may be. And again, it may be that somebody makes an unwanted advance toward you. Maybe it's a sexual advance. And again, you could react in several ways. You could accept it. You could get upset. You could be like Joseph and run completely out of your coat, which got him in trouble. But again, wisdom is going to be what enables you to answer and to respond in the proper way. So the value of wisdom now, when we talk about this, the first 9 chapters of the book are spending its time praising the value of wisdom. The first 9 chapters tell you that wisdom is something great to have. The virtue of wisdom is seen in the life that it can produce, according to the book of Proverbs. We read in Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 13. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Wisdom, it has value, and the virtue of that wisdom causes us to have a prosperous life. prosperous, not monetarily, but there are ways that we can be filthy rich in this life without having the first red penny. You realize that? You don't have to be a millionaire in this life to be happy. And that's what the book of Proverbs is trying to teach us. Wisdom is also found in the fact that the book of Proverbs tells us about the pitfalls of life. And there are pitfalls that are in this life. In Proverbs 3 again, beginning in verse 21, the writer says, "My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." Wisdom. It is of a great value, not just to the Christian, but to all people. But some of these pitfalls are warned of more often than others throughout the book of Proverbs. When we talk about these pitfalls and these warnings, the proverb writer gives us multiple warnings about certain things, like evil companionship, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. He tells us there that they want you to join in their wrongdoing. That's what the world says. Come on, join us. Nobody has to know. But if you do join them, you need to understand that you'll be caught up in their destruction. If their ways are leading towards something that's evil and wicked, and you decide to join in with them, then you need to understand that when they fall, you will fall. That's like your mama asking you, if they jumped off a cliff, would you jump off with them? You go, no. But you're right in there with them. Right in there with the thick of everything. Wisdom would preserve you from doing these things. So the writer talks about evil companionship in chapter 1. In chapter 5, it talks about the immoral woman in the first 14 verses. The immoral woman wants you to understand that that affair is going to be exciting. And nothing is going to happen. It's a harmless kind of fun. But immorality is one of the quickest ways for us to destroy ourselves. And when we think of immorality, it can affect us in more ways than just our spirituality. When you give in to that affair with that immoral woman, or it could be an immoral man, you destroy yourself physically, or can destroy yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And you know, the writer's talking about the immoral woman, but how many times do you know of when a man comes to a woman and convinces her that it's a good thing to have sex with him? And she, on the other hand, can convince him that it's a good thing to have sex with her. And the proverb writer is telling us here, you need to steer clear of that. If you have wisdom in your life, you'll say no. You'll be like Joseph and run plumb out of that coat of many colors to get away from that immorality. The exercise of wisdom would spare one from total ruin. But then you have laziness that is warned about in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. You know, as I said a moment ago, you see these old men that retire, and you'd ask them, well, what are you going to do when you retire? Sit on the front porch and drink coffee. Go sit in a fishing boat and fish all day long. Play golf all day long. Now, I could do that, but maybe just one day a week. But I couldn't do it every day. But that's not what it's talking about here. Laziness is doing nothing. And it may appear good to do nothing. And some of us might even say, well, you know, I'd like to have a day where I didn't have to do anything and just see what it felt like. But that's not what the writer's talking about here. The writer's talking about laziness. He's talking about being slothful. And what being slothful or laziness does is guarantees both failure and poverty. I'm afraid we live in a society that's pushing this on everybody. Our society says, you don't have to work, let the government provide for you. And what it is doing is setting people up for failure and poverty to the point that you rely on everybody else to take care of you. That's not wisdom. Wisdom provides a much better way of life than being lazy. Now, I hope we can see that wisdom is of great value to us. But let's go one step further with the book of Proverbs in regards to having wisdom. When we read the book of Proverbs, the value of the book can be seen in the wisdom that we find there. In our life, wisdom is gained from two sources. One of those sources is through trial and error. Years of getting it wrong before you get it right. Anybody here ever have that? Anybody here ever go through years of getting things wrong before you get it right? This is the source that you might call the school of hard knocks. You break things. You know, one of my biggest problems is carpentry work. They tell you to measure twice and cut once. I could measure a dozen times and still cut it wrong. Either too short, too long, or the wrong angle. That's my downfall. I can't figure it out. You have no idea how many pieces of trim I've gone through in my lifetime trying to get it right. Trial and error. But this is the source, the greatest source, of a person choosing to listen to our own experiences. And when we do this, we're wasting time in our life. There are disadvantages to gaining wisdom this way. And one is how much time we have wasted over our lifetime. You know, there are a lot of things I've done in my life. If I had just asked someone, I would have accomplished it a whole lot faster. And when we do this, we are forced to live with the consequences of our errors. Like I said, you have no idea how much shoe mold and trim I've gone through baseboards in trying to cut it at the right angle. Even with miter boxes, I still can't cut it at the right angle. I don't know why. But you get people, carpenters that have done it for years, and they can go in there and measure once and cut it once, and it's right every time. It gets expensive to learn through trial and error. But you know, it's a sad thing that a lot of people, that's the only way that they can gain wisdom. And that's only if they survive their many errors. Another way is getting wisdom through the proven experience of other people. One of the best pieces of advice I can give you as a parent of young children is to look at somebody who has already raised their children and use them as an example. Years ago, El Bethel had an elder when I was serving as a deacon. And I used to love to listen to him and his wife talk about raising their kids. And he was a fireman from down in Florida. And he was kind of gruff talking, sweet man, but he would talk about his kids. And he would say something to the effect that if they didn't do what I said do, I told them I'd break their arm off and beat them with it. I thought, that's my kind of father. But he was a good example. His wife would tell us, Marilyn went to her and asked her, said, our son Daniel, we have a hard time getting him out of bed in the morning. So she told Marilyn, says, you take a wet wash rag and go rub his face down and he'll wake up. Daniel, you could take a 5-gallon bucket and pour it in his face and he still wouldn't get up. You'd call upstairs, Daniel, are you awake? Yes, Mama, I'm awake. 5 minutes later, Daniel, are you awake? I didn't hear you the first time, Mama. I don't know if he's sleep hearing or what. But we need to look at other people who have life experiences and let them be our trial and error. They've already been through the school of hard knocks a lot of times. And if we look to them as our examples, then we can learn a lot and save ourselves a lot of tears and trials that we may go through in our life. And this is possibly the best way to get experience, but it's only if we're willing to listen to their advice. You know, there are a lot of smart people in this world. There are a lot of smart people here. And if I need advice about X, Y, or Z, I know pretty much who to go talk to. But then I have to listen to what they tell me. I have to take and put that knowledge that they've given me, that advice, into the file in my head and say, that's what I'm going to do. And there are clear advantages to getting wisdom this way. You can avoid wasting years of trial and error and so living a life to its fullest measure. You can experience life with less burdens and the consequences that they made earlier by making those mistakes that you're about to make. And certainly this way of gaining wisdom is far superior. The superior way of gaining wisdom is what makes the book of Proverbs so valuable. Instead of wasting our short time on this earth with trial and error, through the processes of learning, we can go straight to the book of Proverbs. And there we can find wisdom that is divinely inspired by God Himself. Remember, Paul says to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is God-breathed, and this is one of those scriptures. Proverbs is divinely inspired by God, and it is proven to be true by generations of righteous people, men and women who have lived out their lives following the teachings of this book. What they find in the book of Proverbs and have put to use proves that it is effective. And it is expressed in precise ways. It's given in easy ways to remember. You ever heard of the book Don Quixote? It's written a lot like that book. And what I mean by that is it's written a short sentence based on long experiences. Short bits of advice. So yes, the value of this book is that it provides the wisdom of God Himself. And there's no way to say that it takes a little bit of effort to gather from this wisdom. Again, we go back to Proverbs in chapter 2 in verses 1 through 6. And the proverb writer says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." But you know, there are those who will look to God through his word and through prayer. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, the New International Version reads, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and no doubt, and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does." The promise of God is that wisdom will be granted to them that ask. And this is far better than the way most people obtain this wisdom. Now, I hope this lesson has maybe got you a little bit hungry, thirsty, if you will, for the word of God's word in the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at a few lessons from the book of Proverbs. And of course, no discussion concerning the wisdom of God can be complete without mentioning His Son, Jesus Christ. Colossians 2 and verse 2 tells us that in whom, that is in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Without Jesus Christ in your life, there's no true way to be truly wise. So the question is, have you come to Christ?